Hi there. If we haven't already met, my name is Benson. I'm on the pastoral team here, and I've recently moved into a role of overseeing our music network. Today, I have the pleasure of reading from the scripture today. And our passage is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Hi, friends. I'm happy to share a message today called Rooted. As we explore the prayerful passage that Benson read from Ephesians chapter 3, here's a little tell. This was the first passage that I shared from when I joined the Living Waters ministry team. This has been a passage, this has been a passage that has shaped for me my hopes, affection, and my aspiration for the church. Of course, this would include Living Waters Church. You and I know that there are all kinds of ideas and things said about the church. There's judgments, there's various experiences that people have, there's many comments that are made in any given week, there's opinions, and there are some great expectations. When I was serving in my previous role, serving within a district role, a provincial role, I spent many years traveling across BC, interacting with the 220 churches that are positioned across the province of British Columbia and the Yukon Territory. And I would say during those years, I experienced many things associated to the of the church. And I found myself coming back many, many times to this passage in Ephesians chapter 3. It has become very close to my heart. And I would hope, as I share from this passage, that this passage would take you to a very close association to the heart of God for the church of Jesus Christ, and by so doing, of course, Living Waters Church. I would say a little more by way of introduction. Over the years, I have grown to love how vested my Heavenly Father is as he sustains and provides and protects and leads his family, his church. I love my Heavenly Father's desire and ongoing evidence of fertility, for there are so many sights and sounds of new birth within this family and new life, and how diverse a family the church is. A church, a people called by God, gathered by God from every tribe, nation, and language. I love the love the Father has for his church. And I want that love to be resonant in my heart, and I want it to be resonant in your heart as well. We see in our passage Paul's association and fond love for the church. This is why he says in verse 14 of this text, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Paul is on his knees praying for the church. I want to be that kind of person as well. It's interesting in this passage that Paul quickly draws forth a metaphor to help us appreciate relationships within the church. And he uses the metaphor of a family. And it's actually seen all through his pastoral epistles in the New Testament. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, Paul says this, describing what he is referring to in chapter 3. He says in verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Here's the pleasure of the Father associated to the church. It's beautiful. So when thinking about church, many have a tendency to think about the church as a place to go and would say things like, we go to church. Many associate themselves to the church as a form of activity in the sense that church is what we do. So for many, there's a problem. The foundational revelation of the church as found in Ephesians often does not resonate in people's hearts. The order isn't correct. Church is not what we do. Church is not where we go. The church is who we are. The church is a family, a sacred family that's being knit together, formed and called and gathered by the Father and being knit together by the Spirit. I mentioned last Sunday during our in-person services in Fort Langley as I led communion. Beautiful. And I made a comment of how the practice at Living Waters when we share communion and serve communion is from the front of the room. And I made a comment of how that beautiful witness of people moving up and out in the same direction, to me at least, creates a witness. We are a people called and moving in the same direction towards Jesus. We're a family moving towards the things that Jesus has for us. And I find it symbolic and I find it absolutely beautiful when we share communion in person in the Fort Langley Auditorium. So since day one, back in the Garden of Eden, all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament center where Paul is sharing, God has been gathering a family, his church, born on earth, of course, people into a first family, and then born again into an eternal family, a people. Through Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians, we get a new name and are adopted into this eternal family. Jesus wants us to prioritize this eternal family. He talked of this often when calling his first disciples and still calling people today. In Luke 14, he said many people were traveling with Jesus, and he said to them, if you come to me but will not leave your family, you cannot be my follower. You must love me more than your father, mother, wife, children, brother, and sister, even more than your own life. Whoever will not carry the cross that is given to them when they follow me cannot be my follower. So appreciate, this is not leave that involves disowning or ignoring your first family. This is more about loving God and letting God become your number one so that you can love people in the context of earthly relationships, including family, even more. So rather than a literal leave, the calling is opposite. We come to Christ and then we find from Christ great resources and empowerment to love, honor, and care for our earthly family. So this people, the church, this family, we're called out ones. Why? Because all the things of this world, as they are temporary. Our first families are not forever families. The family of God is our forever family. Now, I married a Christian person, Julie. So there's a little bit of a intertwine here of earthly and eternal and how beautiful it is when that's the case. But actually what we see in Scripture is this eternal family. If I'm here and you are there and we're in relationship and we're growing together towards God, we most naturally then begin to get closer to God together. We become this beautiful family, according to Paul's metaphor. So just as there's all kinds of verses that guide and guard our earthly families, there are many that guide and gather and guard our relationships with our eternal family. And here's two, Galatians 6 and Hebrews 10. Galatians 6 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those that who belong to the family of believers. So here, Paul, not to the church in Ephesus, but the church in Galatia, he says, we need to pay attention to those that are part of the family of believers. These become important relationships that are not just to be tolerated, they're to be invested into. Certainly not ignored, they're to be appreciated and engaged with. We need to be good to the family of God, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Generosity. How? Well, Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's a few things here that call us as we give priority and attention and goodness to our eternal family. We do that also through Hebrews 10. It says, let us. So when we think about the health of our eternal family, this church, then we are all called into this association and all need to have equal care and equal concern. Let us. If you're part of the family of God, you're involved in relationships that need to be prioritized. It says, let us. Not just me and not just you, but it's let us. Consider. The word consider in its truest form means to intensely perceive in our mind the needs of another. Beautiful. This thought of all of us intentionally considering in our minds the needs of others so that we can spur. Another translation says irritate, which means to provoke towards what? Love and good deeds. And Paul says here, let's keep meeting together. Some are in the habit of not. And man, certainly COVID has required of us to reimagine our habits. And he said, don't dismiss that meeting together. And of course, when you come together, encourage one another. This word encourage is the idea of shoulder to shoulder together, not in front pulling or behind pushing, but shoulder to shoulder. So you see the image of here. We move closer to God together. We are called into relationship of Hebrews 10, which says, let us be shoulder to shoulder, side by side. And as we're together, we're intensely considering in our minds the needs of the other and how we can provoke and irritate them towards love and good deeds that we would all benefit from, as would others within the family of God. So Paul says, wow, there's a lot here. And for this reason, I bow on my knees to pray to my heavenly Father so that these things would come to pass in all of our lives. Paul goes on to share in this passage three things, three prayers, three practices that has he has been a champion before as a church planter and as a pastor and as an elder and as a teacher. He speaks of being rooted in Christ, rooted in community, and rooted for the glory of God. Let's just mention these in passing. Number one is rooted in Christ. As a metaphor, again, of family, this family is an eternal family, and it's rooted in Christ. Verse 16, 17, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How do we become more rooted in Christ? Rooted in Christ. This verse says sheds light a little bit on it. We are rooted when we receive glorious riches. In other words, we receive from Christ things that we find in no other person and in no other place. That's why we make room for Christ. And we are rooted as we receive Christ into our lives day after day after day. How do we become more rooted in Christ? Well, practically, through revelation of his word. All the ideas that Christ has shared through prayer, conversation with Christ. And thirdly, As we make room in our lives for him, we do so by surrendering to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives as he comes to fill us and dwell within us. It kind of is like this three-legged stool that the family of God sits upon, which is reading and prayer and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We sit upon this. We are rooted. The illustration of a three-legged stool that creates roots for us to grow upon. Secondly, we're rooted in community. Paul says in verse 17, 18, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ. Beautiful image here of being rooted in community together, Hebrews chapter 10. God would have people rooted in community. And those roots, as I mentioned, many people's roots have been pulled up during this pandemic. They've been yanked, they've been strained, they've been pushed around. Now is a time for us to be rooted in community once again. How do we get more rooted in a community? Let me just share some practical things, and perhaps this is tied a little bit to an association with Living Waters Church. I think it begins, here's a few things, I think it begins by understanding that Christ's call upon a person's life is to be rooted in community, and that God has a community for you to be rooted in. God wants no one to be alone. He wants people not to be lonely, but to be together, rooted in community. And God has that for you. You don't have to feel or be alone. Secondly, when you're participating in the life of a community, you accept the invitation to come along. And if you've been around Living Waters for any amount of time, you continually hear invitations of how to become rooted in community, how to get involved, things to and people to meet and places to go. We pray that God leads us into community that God has for us. We become motivated by the vision that Christ has for his church. So when we show up in Christian community, the imagination we have is not just for the things that we see and can get involved in, but we carry into this community a vision for what Jesus has in his mind for community. And by doing so, we carry a passion and we get more and more committed to people because we become more and more committed to the things that Christ has in his mind. We prioritize relationships within that community. To be not alone means you to be together. And so to be together means that you're together, in person, together, connecting, participating in each other's lives. So we prioritize Christian community, which is evidenced by attendance, which is evidenced by corresponding, which is evidenced by paying attention to people, community. We show up and participate in activities. There's no shortcuts. To be together means you're together. If you're not together, you're not together. So we are called to be in person and together. And there are so many beautiful ways to be connected to Living Waters Church. And of course, we show up and serve. The thing about community is serve and be served. And both create community. There's times to serve and there's times to be served. When you participate as a new person in community, it's time to be served. And if you're new or newer to Living Waters Church, let us serve you. No timelines necessarily. Come and be served by this awesome community. But consider how you then would participate by being more rooted in community by ultimately serving. So we're rooted in community. Knowing this love, verse 19, that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is the why of the church. Church is not where you go. Church is not what you do. Church is who you are. We are a filled people inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's love that surpasses knowledge. It passes through the mind because we need to be people of understanding. But as this verse says, we become people that experience what? Paul introduces two words, filled and fullness. As people that are rooted in Christ and rooted in community, we have the imagination and interest of the Holy Spirit to fill our relationships, that we would discover together a fullness of God. That's the good work of the Holy Spirit. And finally, in this passage, we see in verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The third idea, perhaps, that I would draw from Paul's prayer today is that we would be rooted for the glory of God. Rooted in Christ, rooted in community, but rooted for the glory of God. We see the golden thread that runs through all of Scripture is the glory of God. We see it through our confession and conversion, Philippians chapter 2, 11. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you're a Christian, you are a Christian for the glory of God. And as much as we appreciate the value and benefits of confession and conversion, all the good that happens within our lives, it is all ultimately for the glory of God. We see this through our community formation. Isaiah 43, 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. So through formation, which happens through rooted in Christ and rooted in community, it is for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. How beautiful, how beautiful. And finally, we see through the activity of these people, the church, the family of God. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we think about association and we think about activity that is done before man. Yes, it is to help people. Yes, it is to serve people. Yes, it is to use our gifts and our talents and our treasures and our generosity. But the foundational purpose of all that, according to Paul's prayer, is that it will be for the glory of God. Yes, for the benefit of people, but ultimately it's for the glory of God. You were made, friend, for the glory of God. You were made and designed and called in community. Yes, for your good benefit. Yes, that we would benefit from you, of course. But ultimately, it's for the glory of God. So as you get involved in Christian community, it's for your benefit, it's for the benefit of those you serve, but it's ultimately for the glory of God. Friends, in closing, let me just remind you that God has gathered a family. It started way back in Genesis. God has a family. And church is not somewhere you go. Church is not something you do. The church of Jesus Christ is God's imagination. And it has been for so many years. The church is a people called by God, gathered by God for his glory and our good benefit. So as a people, to grow up into this family life and family affair, we do so by being rooted in Christ, rooted in community, and rooted for the glory of God. And that's why Paul says at the very beginning of this short passage, he says, for this reason, I bow on my knees and I pray to my heavenly Father for these things to come to pass. So as I've shared today, I've shared something that's very close to my heart. And I pray through the work of the Holy Spirit today in your life, that you would more and more warm to the purposes and participating in the life of the family of God for God's glory and for your good benefit.